Where in your life do you feel divided, fractured, less than, imposter syndrome? Where do you feel confused, alone? Dive into John chapter 17. Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson. Speaker, author, and yes, life coach. We live in a noisy world with a million external influences vying for our attention. This is the space where we can quiet the noise, sort out our thoughts through honest conversation, and discover what it looks like to take aligned, faith-filled action in a world of endless possibilities. Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode. You are in the right place. Every Tuesday, another episode of the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast drops. And right now, we are going through a series that I am calling So That. We are exploring the why behind the what of Christianity, of your faith, what Jesus says, what Paul says, the writers of the scriptures. So any of you that are listening, that are parents, tell me if this rings a bell. Mommy, why is the sky blue? I don't know. It's blue. God wanted to make it blue. Mom, why do bunnies hop? I don't know. That's just how God wanted to make them, I guess. So they hop. They don't slither. They don't fly. They hop. Mom, why is broccoli so disgusting if it's good for you? I don't know. I don't know why broccoli is so gross. Do you see where I'm going here? There are these moments, especially in toddlerhood. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why do bunnies hop? Why is broccoli gross? Why is it windy today? Why does it rain so much in Seattle? I don't know, because that's how God wanted to make it, right? And you know what? It's not just limited to toddlerhood, because I have teenagers and young adults, and they also ask why. Why do I have a curfew? Why do I have a curfew when nobody else does? Why do you care so much about my grades? Why? This is human nature. We see the way things are. We see the way the world is. We see how we interact with other people. And we just want to know why. Why does this exist? And especially for those of you that they see the rules that are posted on the fence outside of the nuclear power plant. There's some rules. Hey, don't go in there. Why shouldn't I go in there? I don't know. Maybe because you could get nuclear poisoning and die, you know, something like that. But anyway, we are going through a series called So That, and we are exploring the why behind the what. So last week, I dropped an episode with Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We were talking about why are we the salt of the earth? Why are you the light of the world? What does Jesus say about that? And what's the point? Why? So this week, we're going to dive into another passage of scripture, and I'm going to tell you to buckle up because I am choosing a very well-known passage that's a little bit lengthy, so stick with me. But in John chapter 17, we are going to find 11 instances of Jesus using this phrase, so that. So if you want to get down and dirty, nitty gritty here, what is Jesus praying for himself? What does he pray for his disciples? And what does he pray for all of us, all the believers that would come after the disciples, his death and resurrection, the rest of the church, you know, those that come after? So let me dive in to John chapter 17. I'm reading out of the CSB version, and we are going to listen to Jesus's words, his own words, what he's praying, why he is praying it. What is the point? Why do we care? What do we hope that, what does Jesus hope that we get out of this? So Jesus prays for himself. So we're coming hot off the heels from chapters 15 and 16, in which Jesus is really prophesying his death, right? He's talking about how he's got to go, that it's better that if he goes away. So there's a lot of sharing of the stories of Jesus talking about peace, talking about the vine and the branches. I mean, he is laying it out, his most important words to his disciples, talking about how he will be the victor and that the Holy Spirit is going to come and it's better for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Now, his disciples at the end of chapter 16, they say, look, now you're speaking plainly and not using figurative language. Now we know that you know everything and don't need anyone to question you. By this, we believe that you came from God. So they're finally like settling into this truth. And they're like, okay, I think we're finally getting it. And Jesus says to them, do you now believe? Indeed, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home. And you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things. Why? Why has Jesus told them all of these things about the Comforter, about the vine and the branches, so that in me, Jesus, you may have peace? You will have suffering in the world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. That is a sermon right there. Why does Jesus drop all of this truth into their spirit? So that they will remember, so that we will remember and we will have peace, because we will have suffering. And if we don't know these truths about the peace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, about abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine, that he is the vine and we are the branches, understanding the supernatural order of the nutrients and the growth and the sustainability of us human beings in Christ, if we don't know that, we will not have peace. We will have anxiety. We will have worry. We will have misplaced understanding. He tells them these things so that they will have peace. Then he goes into chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things, looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. This is the first encounter that we have. Jesus is asking God the Father to glorify him. Why? So that he can turn around and glorify the Father. Verse 2, since you gave him authority over all people, he's talking about himself. Why did God give Jesus authority over all people? Instance number 2, so that he, Jesus, may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. So Jesus is saying right here that God the Father has given him people to minister to offer eternal life. And so when God glorifies Jesus, Jesus turns around and glorifies him. God gives Jesus authority so that Jesus can give everyone else eternal life. That'll preach. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you've given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. So he's going back to allude to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word was with God, right? So Jesus is saying right here in John 17, verse 5, glorify me in your presence with that glory I had with you before the world existed. Wow, what a beautiful full circle moment in that space. Okay, moving on to John 17, verse 6. Jesus is now beginning to pray for his disciples. He says, I have revealed your name to the people you gave me from the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you, because I have given them the words you gave me. So Jesus is a conduit. He's speaking of himself as a conduit of God's love, of God's wisdom, of God's salvation, only coming through Jesus the Son. Because I have given them the words you gave me, they have received them and have known for certain that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me. Verse 9, I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, because they are yours. He's very specific about praying for these disciples, for these followers of his on the earth at this time. Verse 10, Everything I have is yours and everything you have is mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. He's laying the groundwork here, isn't he? Holy Father, protect them by your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. We're coming into our third instance of what Jesus is praying for. He is saying, Holy Father, protect them by your name so that they may be one as we are one. So in the name of God the Father, Jesus is asking for protection so that the disciples may become one. There will be no fracture in them. They will stand united in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, while I was with them, I was protecting them by your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them is lost except the son of destruction, Judas, so that the scripture may be fulfilled. We're coming to another moment when Jesus is saying, I guarded them. None of them is lost except the one that chose to betray me. Why? So that scripture may be fulfilled. Go back and look at all of scripture. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy, the fulfillment of scripture. All these things are now complete in him. Verse 13, now I'm coming to you and I speak these things in the world. Why? Why is Jesus speaking these things in the world? So that they may have my joy completed in them. Jesus is saying these things so that his disciples hear them and they may have his joy completed in them so they can stay unified and united and glorifying the Father. Verse 14, I've given them your word. The world hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not praying that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus is specifically speaking about how his disciples are set apart. They have his life in them, which sets them apart from the world, and they are protected. Verse 17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them. Why? Jesus says, I sanctify myself for them so that they also may be sanctified in the truth. Do you see this modeling that Jesus is bringing us in this chapter, in these verses? He is glorifying God so that God can be glorified through him. He has giving authority to over all people so that they can have eternal life. He is sanctifying himself. Why? So that his disciples also may be sanctified by the truth. There is a cleansing, a righteousness, and an eternal protection, eternal salvation for them. They now have eternal life and may be sanctified by the truth. Then in verse 20, Jesus shifts and begins to pray for all believers. So the verses that I have just read to you are for specifically praying for his disciples. And now he's shifting into another space. He says in verse 20, I pray not only for these, his disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So anybody who's coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus through the word and the testimony of the disciples, the authors of these scriptures, he's praying for us. Verse 21, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us. So he's painting a picture of unity as the Trinity is unified, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Jesus is praying that we would be united as one. May they also be in us. Why? Why? So that the world may believe you sent me. Verse 21 is powerful because he's saying, Father, I am praying that the believers that are coming down through the generations would be one with each other in the bride of Christ, the bigger church. Why? So that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity as believers, you and me and our church, it is imperative that we are unified in the Spirit so that the world can believe that God the Father sent Jesus. When we have factions and divisions, it absolutely undermines the testimony of Jesus, because that is how the world is going to see his love. Verse 22, I have given them the glory you have given me. Jesus is very specifically saying that he has given the future believers glory, just like God gave him glory. Why? Why? Why has he given us glory? So that they, we, may be one as we are now. I am in them and you are in me. Why? So that they may be made completely one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. He's got many instances here where he's saying, they, may they be one so the world will believe in Jesus. May they live into the glory of Jesus the Son. Why? So that they may be one as the Trinity, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. That's the kind of oneness that Jesus is praying for in this passage. That is the reason why we're doing what we're doing, why we go after these things, why we seek Scripture, why we are praying, why we are hearing the voice of God, why we are pressing into love and not hate, why we are pressing into connection with other people and not division from other people. Why? Jesus is laying out in this litany of reasons that we would be one so that the world may come to know a saving faith in Jesus, because they will see the love of the Trinity modeled in us, in our individual lives, in our corporate lives, in the church. Verse 24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am so that they will see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the world's foundation. As I read this, I think of Jesus really speaking of heaven, because he is at the time of him speaking, he is standing there on earth, but he knows very shortly he will be resurrected and ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he wants us to be there with him. He wants us to be where he is and share in that glory because of this ultimate love that has existed before the world's foundation. Verse 25, righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and they and will continue to make it known. Why? Why? This is the last one. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. This entire passage of John chapter 17 speaks of unity, speaks of us coming together despite our differences, despite the divisions, despite what the world is trying to sow into us and sell us, factions and divisions and falling away. Jesus dives into 11 points of so that. He paints a very holistic, beautiful tapestry, a beautiful picture of love and unity and glory and sanctification and salvation. When we exhibit the light of Christ, when we speak his name, when we live into the glory and the authority that Jesus walked with on this earth, we exhibit the light of Christ. Why? So that others will come to a saving knowledge of him, so that the Father would be glorified, as is Jesus the Son. What does that mean for you and me today? Where in your life do you feel divided, fractured, less than, imposter syndrome? Where do you feel confused, alone, dive into John chapter 17. Listen to Jesus' words of encouragement. He wants us to be one. What does that look like in this world, in this day and age? What does that look like? I wish I had the answer for you. I truly do. The only thing I know is what I read from Scripture. And Jesus is saying, may they also be in us so that the world may believe you sent me. The first thing to do in this case, when you feel fractured and alone, divided, is to look up, look back to the Father. Put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ so that you can understand the love of the Trinity, that the love that they have can be supernaturally transferred into you and to me, into the communities that we are building. We have to fight against the division because Jesus himself prays for the disciples. He prays for all the believers to come after that, that we would be one, that we would live into the glory of the Trinity. And I love this last verse, John 17, verse 26. I want to leave you with this. He says, I made your name known to them. Jesus Christ made God the Father's name known to them, to us, and he will continue to make it known. Why? So that the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. Ultimately, at the risk of sounding like a church, you know, campfire, kumbaya moment, it is about the love. Where in your life right now are you feeling that there is lost love? For those of you that are involved in a church or have been involved in a church, my guess is that you have seen more than your fair share of moments. I know I have. In which there is no love, in which you might think, well, if this is what God the Father is leaving the people, this is what he says love should be, because I haven't experienced that in the church. I know at any given moment in time, every church across this world is walking through something difficult. I know that to be true, because I have experienced it. I'm in conversations right now. I hear it all the time. And yet, if we allow the narrative of factions and divisions to break us apart, we are playing into Satan's plans. We are playing right into the hands and the scheme of the world and what the divider, the enemy, the accuser wants. He wants this. We just might as well hand it over to him right now. And yet, if you spend some time meditating on, diving into the richness of Jesus' words in John chapter 17, you will understand his prayer, the why behind the what. Jesus is praying for glory, for authority, for unity, for love. Why? So that the world can see the absolute overwhelming love of the Father through you and through me and through the church that we are fighting for, that we are creating this side of heaven. This is the model that we have. It is flawed and it is broken, but it will continue to break. It will be even spiraling out of control if we all walk away. So I, for one, feel convicted and passionate about staying with the church. I'm not making any statements about a particular building, a particular group of people. But if we don't live as one, then we are jeopardizing the testimony of Jesus Christ and God the Father on this earth. So I leave you with that today. This is a rich so that passage of Jesus's very own words. What does it matter? Why are we doing this? How can we understand why Jesus prayed what he prayed? All right. I love you guys so much. If there is anything that this particular episode brings up in you, especially in regards to church and community, maybe some hurt that you have experienced that is very real, that is very traumatic, and you want to have a conversation about, whoa, what does the love of God look like? How can you begin to turn back towards the love of God, back towards the church? What does that look like for you? Please reach out to me, schedule a curiosity call, head to my website, meganbnelson.com. I want to hear your story. I want to affirm your story, and I want to pray for you that the glory and the love and the authority and the unity of Jesus, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, would be woven back into your spirit so that you can walk in fullness and in love and in sanctification so that the world may know that God is real, that Jesus loves them. He loves you. He loves me. All right, until next time, I can't wait to dive into another meaty passage with you.
Thank you so much for listening. If this episode challenged or inspired you, I would be honored if you would rate it and leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts so others can hang out with us too. If you'd like to connect at a deeper level, you can find me on Instagram at Megan_Nilsson or head to my website, meganbnilsson.com. and schedule a free curiosity and connection call. Let's keep the conversation going.